goes, but you're more important, so we'll start now.
Who's not making it?
Esposito has an issue with his father-in-law, so he's not. He said it was questionable, and then Hallman called, gave me an email, so he's excused, and then I haven't heard from Terry. So.
He always comes in at the last minute.
Pardon me?
He always comes in at the last minute.
Well, the elevator's out, so he's going to be.
Oh, so he'll be standing there.
Well, there's four of us. So.
Yeah. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, please. Here.
Supervisor
Kavicki.
Here.
Supervisor
Hellman.
Here.
Supervisor Esposito. Supervisor Rose. Here. Supervisor Hellman. Supervisor Brunick. Here. Abusing
governance Bell.
Here.
And Belial.
Here.
As I said, Supervisor Hellman and Supervisor Esposito are excused. Citizens' comments at this time will open the meeting up to citizens. Hi, Terry. Hello. This time we'll open the meeting up to citizens' comments. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. Chair, supervisor, youth and governance comments, I have none. Communications, I also have none. Approval of the September 17th, 2013 minutes.
So moved.
It's been moved by Vice Chair Kubicki, seconded by Supervisor Alverman. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Those minutes are approved.
Probably a short meeting.
Update from, well, it's because you weren't here. Update from CABA, Todd Battle. Todd?
Wow.
Oh, the fun just keeps coming.
Good evening.
Hi, Todd.
How are you, Todd?
I'm good.
You should be basking in glory with all the successes we've had lately.
Well, good evening. For the benefit of the students, my name is Todd Battle. I work for an organization called the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. It is established as a public-private partnership, and its main purpose is to be an economic development organization for the Kenosha County area. Our organization that enjoys a good working relationship with Kenosha County government to essentially serve as an economic development organization for the entire county. We do a lot of work with various municipalities in the community at large, all kind of aimed at creating a better environment for investment and job creation and economic development. So a lot of business retention expansion work, a lot of work to prepare the area and make it attractive for new business investment and those types of things. We also administer a fairly sizable pool of revolving loan fund programs that we use to make direct loans to business and industry to finance expansions and investments in the community, typically with a requirement that those projects generate new employment opportunities for area residents. Just here tonight, more or less, to give an update to the County Board's Executive Committee. I think I'll do that just by sharing just one item. We have moved kind of to a little bit more of a kind of a scorecard metrics in the reporting we do internally with our own board of directors and some other stakeholders. So I'll just send one of these around and give you a second to get it, and I'll just give you kind of a brief update on this and then just talk generally about some other items that we're seeing in the community or working on or have successfully completed, just so you're up to speed.
Need
one more?
Yep.
Okay. So we put this scorecard together to just have a very simple and visual way to communicate to some of our key stakeholders what are some of the core metrics that we track and pay attention to and report out on. So that the six items that we track pretty regularly are jobs announced, new private capital investment in the community, leads or prospects that we're actively pursuing or engaged with, traffic to our website, which is kind of a good indicator then of potential future leads, economic development financing that we extend to new or expanding businesses, and then business retention expansion program. That's our outreach to existing businesses to kind of troubleshoot and identify expansion opportunities. So you can see from this card, this was done through the first couple of weeks of September, so about the first three quarters of the year. An annual goal our goal is to help influence about 5,000 new jobs in the community over a 5-year period, so about 1,000 per year in the next 5 years. thus far in 2013, you know, the number announced thus far through some of the projects we've been involved in is over 1,000. We want to influence about $100 million of new capital investment each and every year. That number year to date is about $75 million, just shy of $75 million. We want to engage with about 50 new business prospects that are legitimate economic development prospects. The number through the first three quarters of the year was 39. You see our website visits, you see our funding. You probably the one I comment on, our business retention expansion, we want to engage with about 100 existing businesses per year in a formal way where we really understand what's going on in their business and have a visit with a CEO or executive within the company to get a good handle on what's going on in the business. This number's off, made primarily due to the fact that we had a staffing vacancy in our year that wasn't filled until late June, early July, and since we filled that position, we ramped this back up. The fact that we were down a person and kind of the person that maintained or owned this program impacted the number, but we're ramping it right back up. So I think that's more of a little bit of a, just an indication that we had some turnover, lost a staff person, filled a position, and had a gap in terms of when we were able to get the program fully up and running. So this is our scorecard. This is what we use. There's been a number of good news items to report on the economic development front recently. I think, you know, a couple things to note. I think that the general economic environment and conditions in terms of capital investment have gotten a little bit better. I think Wisconsin and Southeast Wisconsin in particular has done a number of things that have improved the business climate. I think, alternatively, a lot of the investment that we see that coming into Kenosha County migrates here from areas in close proximity, predominantly Illinois. And I think if you just compare the two states and the trajectory of their business climate, Southeast Wisconsin scores much more favorably, and that's bearing out in some of the projects we're seeing from companies that are expanding or building new facilities. Activity lately has been really good, probably just even in the last couple of months. We were proud to announce a work with a company called Hanna Cylinders, which is siting a new about 100,000 square foot manufacturing facility in Lakeview Corporate Park. Hanna Cylinders is a manufacturer of hydraulic cylinders used in various industries, a little bit for nuclear power industry, a little bit for agriculture and construction equipment, and a little bit for other industries. This will be their main manufacturing facility. They are occupying a building that had been largely vacant for the past 3 or 4 years. They've signed a 10-year lease, and they expect to have their operation up and running by the end of the year. That was one of the projects that we pursued with the county's high impact fund that we established about 2 years ago. Subsequent to that, it was announced earlier this month that Kenall Manufacturing was going to construct a new manufacturing facility in the business park of Kenosha, in the city of Kenosha. Kenall Manufacturing is a manufacturer of kind of high-grade LED or light-emitting diode lighting systems. So essentially, they're making solid-state lighting systems that are used on college campuses, on hospital campuses, for departments of transportation, underpasses. Some of their newer applications are actually used in surgery rooms, medical buildings, hospitals, surgery rooms. It's a fairly vertically integrated company. The number of engineers, a lot of new product development, R&D, metal fabrication, electrical controls, kind of all the various components that go into an LED lighting system are produced by this company. They had outgrown a facility in Gurnee, Illinois. They engaged a site consultant to do a very comprehensive site selection undertaking, looked at a number of sites in Illinois and Wisconsin, and we engaged with the company and their site consulting firm, and ultimately were successful in securing their commitment to build a new facility in Kenosha. We are in the process of working with the city of Kenosha and the state of Wisconsin and the company to formalize all these various agreements. Last night at the city council meeting, we took another step forward as the city approved an amendment to the tax increment financing project plan that will be kind of a key part of the incentive package for Kennel. Once everything's done, they close on the land, begin construction on a facility, which they'd like to do yet this year. They build about a 354,000 square foot facility. They would plan to occupy that facility hopefully by the end of next year. Probably at that time, they probably have about 350 to 400 employees, depending on their growth over the next 12 months. They would anticipate that their full employment at that site would reach about 620 employees within a 3 to 5 year period of completing the project. Really nice company, really nice win for the community. Will result in, you know, a $30 million investment, $25 to $30 million investment in north of 600 new jobs over the course of the next several years. And then more recently, I think people have probably paid a little bit of attention. There's a Project Onyx is a new distribution center, fulfillment center that's been announced for to be built in Kenosha. And that's also another project that's not quite done yet, but there were some public approvals necessary. So some items were on the city council's agenda last night, including a rezoning, a conditional use permit, tax increment financing agreement, and a few other items. All of those were approved as necessary, and that project kind of took another step forward. So it seems that that's also getting pretty close to being another nice, solid deal for the community.
What do you estimate the timeline for that?
Based on my understanding of the situation, once all the necessary public approvals are obtained, the developer, KTR, would proceed to close on the property and almost immediately commence construction. So if everything went smoothly, you know, they might be the owner of the property and breaking ground in construction sometime in the next couple of weeks. They really would like to get started on construction.
God, it's awesome.
Immediately. So those are a few of the items that, you know, maybe more recent or bigger new items. Over the course of the year, we've definitely seen some pretty good momentum and acceleration of economic development activity, just in terms of the prospects we're working with and the number of companies that have announced plans to build or locate facilities in Kenosha. And we just continue to see the momentum building, and particularly with items like Kennel and Hanna Cylinders and Project Onyx, there's additional momentum that I think puts Kenosha County in a very favorable light, and it opens more doors for us. And so we're pretty optimistic right now about the business environment, and we're trying to be as aggressive as possible in terms of going after some of these opportunities we have to bring new business and new jobs and new investment into the community. I'd be happy to answer questions or elaborate on particular items that I'm able to, but that's kind of a 5-minute overview of what's been going on the last 3 or 4 months.
Linda, that thing's blinked off. Is it still recording?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Supervisor Alverman?
I have a question. The you know, years ago when CABA first began, I think I was on the village board in Twin Lakes. That's 25 years ago. How long is CABA? 30?
I think our organization's roots probably trace back to the early 80s.
Yeah.
Early to mid 80s, probably.
So back then, the revolving loan fund, and there was the two funds, and a business came in, and CABA and the county kind of backed the loan. That's how it was done. And people got low interest, and they expanded. But when I was on the village board, it was like Stan's Lumber, and he was past president of CABA. Wilmot Auto Service and Five Star and Allied. That's the people I'm used to out there. And they are still clients.
Yep.
And expanding, and CABA's been very beneficial. So things have changed, though. And so my question, and I know the answer, but hear how you phrase it. Things have changed so dramatically that we no longer are just backing loans and using the revolving loan fund. Is there anyone anymore going to come to a municipality, a county in this nation without the type of incentives that I know the city, county, and everyone, and the state is giving Project Onyx, the Ulines and these people. The thing of the past is where a guy just starts a business.
It's not a thing of the past where an entrepreneur or a startup would just happen, and maybe they just need a loan. And that still happens today. I would say for more established companies, you mentioned Uline or some of these other major companies.
Right.
In my humble opinion, it's the price of poker. When those just because of the competitive nature of economic development, the cry around communities all over the country, we need jobs and we need economic development. It's the table stakes to be in the game.
Right.
And I'd love it if we could, secure some of these projects and do so at less cost to the municipality in terms of incentives or assistance. But I don't think it's reality. And I think the larger the company, the more established and the more sophisticated in terms of, having built new facilities or located previous facilities, the more probably demanding they tend to be. I would say also, a lot of companies that are pretty sophisticated in that respect, some that aren't, that don't move a whole lot or don't build a lot of new facilities, are now very sophisticated about hiring good consultants and people to help them do this. And so it would be rare that we would engage with a fairly significant relocation or expansion project where there wasn't some level of expectation that the community is going to provide some sort of financial incentive.
Right. And I think we've all become aware of that, and we're all very happy that we're good at this, and we've come very good at it. But I sometimes long for those days where somebody just did something, and I know that's a thing of the past.
We do, Supervisor Elman, though, there are, probably the ones that grab more headlines are the bigger projects, and then if there's an incentive involved, that's really, people are very transparent about that, so that's reported ad nauseum. There are a handful of projects or deals that were put together throughout the course of this year that were done with very little incentive, and I'd hit Meyer's acquisition of Super Value's facility and a construction of a 250,000 square foot addition, very efficient, very low, did not require a significant community or local subsidy. Kona Cranes moved a facility into Lakeview Corporate Park, very modest assistance was necessary or offered. So probably the bigger the project and the larger the brand or the name recognition of the company, probably the more expensive it is to be in that competition.
Right. And your normal revolving loan fund, which we still operate, is basically still small local businesses that benefit from that.
If you look, we probably are servicing around, probably a little shy of 50 different notes to different borrowers.
Right.
Lion's share of those are small to medium-sized manufacturing companies that we've helped finance a facility expansion or purchase a new CNC machine or purchase a new injection molding machine or something of that nature.
And you mentioned to the youth and governance who know little of this, and when I mentioned this revolving loan fund, what CABA, the county, and the municipalities do is guarantee these loans. So if you have, and I mentioned Wilmot Auto Service, but it's not just Wilmot, it was Salem, Silver Lake, and Wilmot. They did a huge expansion in the three locations. So we guarantee through CABA and the county to the lenders that this loan is going to be paid. And that's how we expand business, and that's what Mr. Battle's company does. And these recent things that make the big news, and this Project Onyx is something you guys are familiar with, and that's Amazon. That's the big one that made the papers this week. But there's others that employ, 100 people, 150 people, 200 people in the county, and they've been doing this for 30 years. And the county and the city and everybody working together. Thanks, Doc.
How much is left in our high impact fund?
The original amount put into the fund was $1 million. Subsequent to that, we had an agreement to add $500,000.
That was as needed, though?
Once the first $1 million was depleted.
Right.
So, Brett, the items we financed with the first $1 million included a quarter of a million for a Bradshaw Medical for a fairly significant expansion. We funded $250,000 to Hanna Cylinders for their project in a new facility in Lakeview Corporate Park. And we have we're in the process of closing an agreement with Kennel that involves $1 million. So the first $500,000 went to Hanna and Bradshaw. The other half of that remaining money would go to Kennel. Once that's depleted, we would make the request for the additional $500,000 that's pledged, and that would go to Kennel upon occupancy of the facility. And then that $1.5 million in total that we've had would have funded those three projects. Just real quick math on that. That $1.5 million has helped generate about $35 million in new investment through those three projects. In really round numbers, it's for about 800 jobs in the county. And then we'd be depleted. We wouldn't have any more revenue in that fund unless somebody didn't meet all their obligations. The way those deals are structured, it as forgivable loans. So unless somebody failed to meet their obligations and paid the money back, it'd be gone. It would have been used to secure these projects. In the most recent budget introduced by the county executive, I think there was a thought towards putting another up to $500,000 into the fund.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Todd? Okay, thank you for your report.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
Update on downtown for Violet. You're up.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hey, my name is Violet Ricker, and I'm the director of Downtown Kenosha. I also work at Kenosha Area Business Alliance, and my specific focus is on downtown development. And so just by way of introduction there, about a year ago, Kenosha Area Business Alliance and the city published a downtown strategic development plan. So a bunch of people got together and decided that they'd like to put some priority on downtown to see that things were really changing. Do you guys ever hang out downtown? Okay. Well, we're going to try to get you to hang out down there more. So what we're trying to do is bring more people and more businesses to the district down there. And so one of the really great things that happened for downtown is that in July of this year, we were designated as a Main Street program. So the supervisors have heard this, but Main Street is actually a national program that works to do economic development through historic preservation. And so within this program, we have a board of directors that we've just established, and then also four volunteer committees, each with a specific focus. So our design committee works to improve the look of the streets. They have projects that will address whether we have enough benches and bike racks. They're also working on a program to do a facade improvement, so that means making the outsides of the buildings a lot nicer. And they'll be addressing alleys, they'll be addressing accessibility, working to make sure that we have enough transit, whether that's via Metra or buses or accessibility for bikes or wheelchairs or strollers, anything downtown. And so everything that has to do with the look of the street falls in the design committee. We'll also be working with businesses to help them merchandise their windows, and then to do a wayfinding signage program in conjunction with the city that'll be installed by the end of this year that we're looking forward to celebrating. The organization committee works on resource development, so that helps us grow our volunteer base, and then also work towards financial resources if we have new programs that we want to start. And the promotion committee works with existing businesses to help grow the customer base. So how do we get more people downtown actually shopping and spending money inside the businesses? And in particular, how do we grow that awareness with Kenosha County residents to make sure that they are aware of all the resources that are available to them in downtown? And the fourth and final committee is economic restructuring, which works on business retention and recruitment. So how do we keep our existing businesses here and open and help them do really well? And then how do we fill in all those available storefronts and businesses that fit into the mix down here? So each of those four committees are fully staffed up with volunteers now. We had a lot of community meetings to get people engaged and excited, and certainly invite everybody here to volunteer if you'd be interested. And so each of those committees have also had a training session with staff from Wisconsin Main Street. So they actually came to Kenosha to run a 3-hour training session for each of those groups of volunteers on specific ideas that they can do, things that other communities have seen be really successful and that we can replicate in this community. and to help them establish a framework for work plans. So each of those groups will meet in October, later this month, and we'll write out their work plans for the year. So that's the opportunity to say these are the specific projects that we want to accomplish in the following year, what resources we're looking for to make those happen as far as volunteer time and finances. And then those go to our board of directors in November. And then at that time, I'd love to come back and tell you guys a little bit more about what specifically is in those work plans so that you can really see more of what that program is going to be doing the following year. Right now, we've been partnering with the Business Improvement District, which is the acting downtown promotional organization, as well as the Chamber of Commerce and the Convention and Visitors Bureau that have planned a number of promotional events. So we'll be partnering with them for the November 29th Lighten Up. This Saturday, we have Second Saturday, so there's a lot of really fun activities and events downtown, so we're trying to spread the word about that and really promote those businesses. And then as we get into the winter months, we're specifically planning events and promotional activities that will be in January and February, which is based on feedback from business owners. We've heard some of the more difficult months for some of our retail businesses down here, so we really want to make sure that we're taking that feedback and designing programs that are a unique fit for Kenosha that are based on what those business owners and customers would like to see. So that's kind of on the volunteer side of the organization, how we've been working with those four committees. Internally, I've also been working on a number of projects to start implementing other pieces of that downtown strategic development plan. We've partnered with the city and Harbor Park and Kenosha Area Business Alliance. We're going to be doing a feasibility study on an indoor market for the Harbor Market. That was one of the recommendations in the plan, to take a look at how we can make a year-round indoor market that utilizes one of our existing buildings downtown, both to activate one of those buildings and then also to keep that Harbor Market as a growing customer base, because we have a lot of people coming down for events like Harbor Market, and so we want to better leverage those customers who are already coming downtown to say, how do we get them in those other businesses that we have up and down the street. In addition to that, we're starting a focus on residential recruitment, so how do we grow the number of people living downtown? Because in the larger scheme of things, the more people that you have living downtown, the easier it is to attract businesses, the easier it is to prove that you have an active workforce in downtown to help attract new companies there as well. So next week, we've partnered with MyLink, the Young Professionals Organization in Kenosha, to do an event where we'll have a bunch of young professionals downtown and showcase some available properties and then also take them actually on a tour of some of the apartments downtown. I just moved downtown, so we're going to walk everybody through my apartment, which I think will be fun. And so really to start promoting all of the available spaces there are and then work with property owners to make improvements to residential units that maybe people haven't lived in a while. So to work with them to improve those and then actually really actively market them. We're also bringing Art Space to town on October 29th and 30th. Art Space is the nation's leading not-for-profit developer of live workspace for artists and their families. So what Art Space does is they come into a community, they buy a building, usually a historic building that's been vacant for a while, and then they renovate it into artist lofts. And because they're a nonprofit developer, they're able to keep the costs of the rent in that building really low, so artists who help make a community really cool can afford to stay and live there. So I'll be sending you more information about that, but on the evening of October 29th, we're going to have a community meeting, and they'll be in town touring properties both of those days and kind of coming up with a strategy for what potential building we could look at moving forward for an art space project. And so again, that's helping us get more people living down here, reactivating historic property, hopefully, and then also really showcasing our commitment to the arts, because that's another economic development tool that Kenosha uses really well. So there's a bunch of other projects that we're working on. I would certainly encourage anybody to get involved. We're gonna be adding some metrics to the Kenosha scorecard that are based on downtown as well, so you'll be able to see some of our numbers there as we start tracking growth in employment downtown, number of new residents coming downtown, and some things like that. And so just in closing then, I guess I really appreciate the county's commitment to what we're doing downtown. We were so excited to see the proposal for downtown Wi-Fi, because we really believe, the same way that the city does and that CABA does, that investing in your downtown really leverages that fund so that you get a return on that investment that helps everybody in the county. So we're able to increase property tax values by making improvements down there. We're able to get more people shopping down there, which grows sales tax revenue. And then that funding can be spent in other parts of the community. So we really appreciate your continued support, and we're looking forward to keeping you in the loop on new projects we've got coming up.
Supervisor Kubicki.
Thanks for that update. What's your thoughts on the Wells property and then the amount of the type of people that's supposed to bring to the downtown area?
Sure. So there's a proposed project on a property called the Wells property that used to be an industrial site. So it wasn't housing, it was industrial, and the property is still currently zoned as light industrial. So that's been acquired by a property owner who wants to build housing there, primarily affordable housing. And the part of this proposed project that is consistent with the plan is bringing additional density to downtown, growing the residential population, and then also, of course, changing that zoning from industrial to residential or mixed use. The Downtown Strategic Development Plan strongly recommends market rate housing, and in particular, an emphasis on creating housing for young professionals. When I was personally looking for an apartment down here, and another folks that I've talked to, there aren't a lot of competitive apartments available the way that other parts of the city or even other communities can offer, and the plan really demonstrated the need for market rate housing. So my opinion and my interpretation of the plan's recommendation is that the project would be a lot stronger and would be at a highest and best use for the land if that project were to have a higher or a full market rate component, and then also to include retail on the first floor. Yeah, so if it had some type of mixed use. And so I've conveyed that to the developer and shared my opinions with them. I'm really encouraging them to look at a retail component, and I'm happy to work with them to find a tenant for that if that's something that they're concerned with. At the time, the response was that this is a two-phase project and that the second phase would be fully market rate with commercial on the first floor. I would still strongly advocate that the project itself be looked at as highest and best use would be fully market rate and having a commercial component.
And then one other question, Chair.
The
trolley around Library Park, your views on that versus possibly going to Carthage and coming back to the downtown area?
Sure, so the streetcar is definitely an issue everybody's aware of, and I think it's important to note that it's just one of the many, many recommendations from the Lakota Plan and something that definitely is a priority, but certainly not the end-all be-all of downtown development. In particular, I think the reasoning for going around Library Park that is the recommendation from the Lakota Plan is to better connect us to the hospital, which is actually downtown's largest employer. They have 1,800 full and part-time employees there. And so getting those, both visitors, patients, and employees from the hospital, giving them access to the rest of that route could be really beneficial. Another thought, too, is that if there were to be an offshoot of the streetcar route up to Uptown later in the future, that would offer a little bit more connectivity there. The capital improvement plan of the city currently has $2 million pledged for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the match then is 80% federal funding. So the way that amount was determined was how much the downtown route would cost. And the benefit of that is that the downtown streets really need repair anyway. The city looked at an estimate for that, and it's going to cost around $1.8 million to make the repairs to those streets. So we're very close to getting a free streetcar after we make those repairs, essentially.
Because we're getting around Library Park.
Well, not necessarily around Library Park, but for the downtown route as opposed to Carthage. I am the first person to tell you I would like a streetcar route to connect to every single part of the town, to downtown. And I think that's great, and I love a phased implementation of that. I'd love to run the streetcar out to every other neighborhood, out to the highway, out to every college we've got. I think that'd be great.
Settle down.
But the reason that we're supporting the proposal for it to run around 6th Avenue and 8th Avenue is that it gets the folks on the streetcar in front of our businesses. Right now, the streetcar runs by about 5% of our existing businesses. If we were to run it around 6th Avenue, we'd go past 85% of our downtown businesses. And so getting people in front of those businesses is really helpful. Visitors really love rail. I think you can probably imagine if you've been in a town before, how often as a tourist do you get on a bus line or walk further than you can see Storm Bay. So getting people, getting tourists in particular on this route allows them to will really stimulate the economy, both in terms of that immediate sales tax revenue that will be generated, and then estimates are that in places where streetcars are installed, that funding, so in this case $10 million for a total project, is leveraged 10 to 20 times over. So over the next decade, we could expect to see $100 to $200 million of additional economic development in that same area, particularly on 8th Avenue, where we can start talking to companies and say, hey, we'd like you to come build your corporate headquarters down here. We've got really great infrastructure, a city and a county that are committed to investing in this district, and your employees will have a really high quality of life if they live and work in this neighborhood. So I know that the issue right now is what should the route be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that the engineers have an opportunity to look at that to determine whether Library Park is practical, feasible, fits in with long-term plans. But I'm a huge proponent of the proposed route because I really believe that it will help our existing businesses there.
Thank you for that. Thanks, Jim.
May I also say that I do think that incorporating some of the schools that are already down here
mm-hmm.
Is an excellent way, because I know I go to Harborside, and
okay.
our first part of our year in ninth grade, our curriculum is based on the history of Kenosha
really?
And the history of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And we go and tour the downtown area, and I think that that they would be very helpful into developing the downtown area, because I know we put a lot of energy into it. We have off-campus release and things like that, and a lot of the kids in my grade really love the downtown, but it's just that we wish we had more options of places to go and like things to do. So yeah, I would definitely encourage collaborating with them on that.
That's a great point. Thank you so much. I will definitely do that.
That'll do it. Thank you for your report.
Sure. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go downtown.
Okay.
Soften this up for Bernie.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Thank
time.
You.
Bernie on the budget.
We'll start with the current year budget. Looking pretty good. Pretty much on the mark with most things. We have to watch our spending on the books and manuals account. It looks like the amount that was budgeted will carry us through. We're convincing Joint Services that we are a valuable service for them, so we're getting more income than we budgeted for from Joint Services. One of the things they're doing, like today, they're looking at insurance for domestic partners and wanted us to do a resolution for that for Joint Services. And I just sent them all the stuff I did for us and all the information in the background, and I said, you could probably adapt this for your own, but you'll need your own study on the impact. You'll need it. They thanked us, and I didn't charge them anything for that because it's public records and all that, you know. So
that's nice.
We also, you know, we do what we can for them without, you know, cost as well. But they're very happy with us. They're turning more and more work over to us. So that item is 100% now what we expected, and there'll be a little bit more for the next couple months. That's about it for the current year. Is there any questions on that?
Any questions on the current year? I didn't have any.
No, it's pretty clean.
For 2014, there's some changes. It might be best seen on page 325 of the proposed budget. And on page 325 of the proposed budget, you might notice we have no capital outlay proposed for next year, as we hope that the machinery and the furniture we have this year will hold up. And we have a big change also on item about halfway down the page, office machinery equipment maintenance. It's number 524200. And that's going from $6,140 down to $148. And it's not disappearing in the overall county budget, but you'll see this if you, Mr. Rosa, Supervisor Rosa, you're on finance. All of the departments are doing this, so all of the departments are getting their office machinery and equipment maintenance taken from their budget and transferred to IT. So it's not going away. It's just a different central location for it. Then another change is this year we had $800 in the couple lines below that. Furniture and fixtures, I mentioned. We're not doing anything for purchases, so we had $800 for 2013, and we have zero for this year. Similarly, we had in the next line below it, machinery and equipment, we're going from $649 to zero, as we hope that everything that we have will stay in good working order. Recognizing that we gave up a few things, and recognizing that we're always tight on our books and subscriptions, legal materials, they've increased our books and manuals from 16,000 to 17,000 for next year. And the rest of it is sort of like personnel factors that are just automatic.
Are those step increases?
Yeah, they're step increases.
Okay, because that was the question I was going to have on the whole thing, was the no increase in personnel, but they're
yeah,
creeping
no,
up. So
that's right.
You're right. No, so no, I figured it was step increases. Yeah, okay, right. Thank you.
And one of the things is, that's about it. So other questions? Yes.
Brandon, you have revenue drain services only $200.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Yeah, I mean, it seems rather...
It was only $200.
Seems rather low for a lawyer.
speaking
from experience.
Come on now. That's 1 hour of his time.
We're not getting any new chairs, so...
Yeah.
It was only 15 minutes. What are you talking about?
Where the hell have you been?
Yeah, man, I'm out of the times. I should have
went.
Yeah, what is the latest?
He goes to Costco, I think.
Well, you know what I think was? I think that Jennifer Kopp, I asked her to take it easy on them a little bit until they got used to using us. So she was giving them a lot of good service, and she's just approximating the time and gave them a little bit of a break.
That's good. That's good.
Next year they'll slam them.
So next time we'll just wake up.
For a whole year.
Well,
they're
very self-sufficient, but they had a lot of contracts coming through.
That's similar to what he's been over at for a while.
Yeah.
And then when Tom Gensler came in, he wasn't familiar with us. He wasn't familiar with sending out.
Still, that seems goofy.
So we didn't get hardly anything last year in 2012. And this year we're building up rapport and confidence, and so it's building.
And then you have a carryover last year that disappeared. Which one?
Which line?
Again, you're on the revenue.
Same one.
Under revenue, it says carryover. 39,000. We're talking about 13. You had it, but now it's nothing. Just explain that.
Is that for revenue or is that for outside counsel?
Oh, right here.
Right underneath the.
It was a carryover. That was.
$44.99.80.
That's for legal.
So it was spent last year? And then
no.
It was,
oh, well.
And it hasn't been spent this year either.
Oh, where is it then in 14?
For a year.
2014?
Yeah.
I think they made that decision after or through the budget process.
Is
we
it?
Didn't request any dollar figures because
still
we were doing the budget in June. We have no idea what kind of surplus money we're going to have.
So,
did they give us 39,000
There was the revenue of carryover, and I don't see the stuff. So that was spent.
There was probably, no, we didn't spend it. That's we stopped our casino attorneys.
Yes.
Now we kind of limited them. And we haven't had any lawsuits that we couldn't handle ourselves this year. We had some expenses, but we didn't have any big outside counsel. I think we started off with 40, and we're ending up with 39.
If
Whereas,
you go to the previous page, 325,
okay,
and look at our legal fees, we budgeted $40,000 for 2013.
for that?
But we actually have under column 3, 79 to 11, that's where they put the 39,000 carry.
Right. That explains it.
All right, I was just wondering what happened.
Clear as crystal.
Yeah, no,
very
it's
good.
A little more than 200 an hour there. Sorry. Come up
yeah.
Yeah,
we get we get some good representation through our insurance company on liability claims, but for the other things that aren't covered, we haven't been able to handle it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on the proposed budget?
I see none.
Nope. Accepted.
It's been moved to. Approve it through the committee by Supervisor Gruning.
Second.
Seconded by Vice Chair Kavicki. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That is approved.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yes. I lost my agenda. I'm going to find it. Okay. Committee chairs update on. Oh, okay, there we go. Any chairs want to update their committee? Supervisor Alvin.
Just a couple little things. We had a meeting last night. A lot of it's a blur, but didn't catch in the paper today, and they didn't comment on it. Maybe some of you know. If the city council approved the 60th Street Tower thing, we were going to dig a hole tomorrow and begin it. The National Park Service approved it a while back. And the city council had some screw up in their agendaing the item, and so it was going to be last night, and I don't know if it happened or not. So.
I heard by word of mouth from Joe, who was doing the antenna contract, that it passed.
So if that's the case, today's the 8th, well, we were told that on the 9th we were going to dig the hole. Everything's been ready to go. There's a curing process of a month on the concrete.
Close.
So, we may get it up. I don't think we'll get it operable for this winter season. We may get the tower up, but then there's all the things that have to be moved to it. But at least it's a beginning that we've been waiting a year and a half, 2 years, for. So that's one thing that I've been reporting on. The other, we all know that we're not doing this waterproofing because they're not doing the curbs and gutters on this building. The study for this building is in the 2014 budget that we'll all have a look at. Those are the major things right now.
I've got a question for this. How's things working at the parking structure?
I haven't heard a glitch, so I mean, I haven't heard a bad thing. Oh, the other thing I'm sorry is that Ron Henning is retired. No, he didn't report. Maybe some of you don't even know him, but I mean, he reported to us. He had an operation. He was close to retirement, so he took his retirement. So we have a lapse there in facilities, you know, that we'll have to fill. We also have the new engineer that's been hired in kind of a sharing thing with planning and development, highways, and he has come on board. But there's going to be some new hires there. People that have been with us for a long time.
To get back to your question, there has been an issue with some of the people taking the train parking in there. So in the budget next year, I think there's some money for a new gate to keep some of that traffic out of there and keep it to county personnel and joint services personnel.
Well, what was this, a gate? I thought we went through.
Well, I think there's something that they have to modify to keep other people out of there. I didn't question it too deeply, but I will get into it. It'll come before his committee.
Yeah, so. I haven't heard of it.
Can't keep trained people out of there.
Yeah, they're going in there and parking.
But they're supposed to.
Yes, they pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody pays with a swipe.
They have a right to go. That's why we got federal money to
use
that. Okay. Then what? Because we were providing parking for the train people.
Oh.
Yeah, we cannot.
There's something with we're losing some parking spaces. So
anybody
I don't
that
know
wants to park there can park there. Yes. They just pay.
Yeah. But, I mean, we cannot exclude the train people. That was a condition of the receipt of the money.
I wonder if it was modifying the gate with the costs and such. I don't know.
I nominate you to gatekeeper, Terry.
Well, they haven't reported to the committee.
He's too expensive. We've just established that.
I'll take the 200.
Nothing has been reported to the committee on any glitches.
Uh-huh. No, I haven't heard of any. I'm at the courthouse daily. If somebody was complaining, I'd hear about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll look forward to hearing about that at your committee because I know that's a. I wrote a note in my budget book about it. So, okay. No other committee chairs. We're good.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That want to stay, Terry?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
I'm
dying
on
the way in.
Which
one did
you have today? Same one? Or?
Snickerdoodle and a...
What's your popular one for you?
Well, with the cream cheese.
We call you Dennis Snickerdoodle.
Cream cheese.